first time when we have it as a joint service with both congregations. Now we need to find the right balance. With the English in the past, we had an I would say about 40-minute service with the Romanians in the evening, about a two hours plus service. So maybe we can combine the two and have about an hour. We'll see. So let's just read a few verses from Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse 9. Talking about the Magi visiting the palace of Herod. In verse 9, we read, "After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary and his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Amen. Father, I pray that you will bless the words of my mouth as they seek to express your living word as it's found in the scripture. Amen. Yesterday, we tried to comprehend what I call the invasion of grace. And we've seen how God chooses to invade our world in a very peculiar way, with grace. Today, we are going to look at the King of Grace, Jesus Christ himself. But we need to place him in the right context. And there are three types of kings, if you like, in this text. First of all, let's look at the Magi. Sometimes they are called as kings. Kings who received grace from God. They didn't seek it. It happened just because God simply chose to do so. They were carrying out with their own businesses in their own country, somewhere in Persia perhaps, far away from Jerusalem, having good positions, enjoying a good life. They had it all. From a human point of view, they had a good career, they had numerous possessions, they had prestige. They were famous. But in an inexplicable way, God chose to reveal himself and his plans and things about Messiah about 2 years before Christ was born. Nobody knows exactly, but we assume about 2 years simply because in the text later on we read that Herod seeks to kill all those children up to 2 years old. Perhaps they had to travel up to 1,000 miles from Persia to this place in Bethlehem. It could take easily up to 2 years. And God revealed to them through a star. I'm not going to spend time about that star. There are many things we can discuss here. What was it? In fact, that's not my aim today. But for them, that simple indication, because they were reading stars, they were astronomers, they knew the scriptures as well, perhaps from Daniel, since he was in Babylon, before Persian conquered Babylon, and they were magi. They were seeking for something. And God revealed to them his own amazing plan that a Messiah is coming, that the Son of God is going to be born on earth. They didn't know all the facts, but they were happy and ready to leave everything behind, all the prestige, all the splendor, all the material things, even perhaps their positions, not knowing after they coming back 2 plus 2 years, 4 years, they may not get the positions back. And they enjoy this grace of God, not because they were better than others, but because God chose to show them grace. Unmerited, as we've learned through the last few weeks. Unmerited favor. Now, these wise men, guided by the star and their knowledge of scriptures, embark on a journey of faith. Their joy is evident as they follow the celestial sign that led them to Jesus. And what drew my attention this week, reading again and again this well-known passage from the Bible, is this expression: they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. It wasn't just a simple joy, but they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Their joy was not an ordinary joy. It was extraordinary. It was the kind of joy that comes from encountering the divine and His grace. I so enjoyed during the carol service a week ago. Well, all of the carols were absolutely beautiful, but one of them had this chorus: joy, inexplicable joy. I sang it with my voice throughout the whole week, out of the blue, in the kitchen, in the living room, in the bathroom. My kids and my wife heard me singing this joy, inexplicable joy. Don't ask me to do it today. It is inexplicable. I mean, they just saw the star after they went in the palace in the wrong place. After they faithfully followed that star, they've done a mistake. They were to seek advice, and they assumed the king, Jesus, would be born in a palace. They realize it's not, because in the palace they found a different king, and I'm going to discuss a few things about this king later on. And when they went back, in contrast with what they found in the palace, when they saw the star, they rejoice. I wonder, do you have that joy today? Do you have it during this Christmas? Look down, deep down in your heart, please. And don't say it out loud, but as the Holy Spirit of God is leading to examine your own heart and expectations, do you have this sort of joy? Maybe, as Marie just provoked us when she asked us when we wake up. Yes, I wake up at 5, but not to go to search for presents under the tree. Definitely not. But I was in the living room reading the scripture again, meditating on this word, and when Robert wake up and came, he went straight on, unpacking all the presents. Doesn't matter what name was there, you know. Mine, Elena's, Andre's, he was curious. And I could see his face sometime disappointed. It wasn't exactly what perhaps he expected in some of those presents. If you seek to find joy coming from things outside of us, as I said yesterday, trust me, you'll never find it. You may experience momentary pleasures, but that's not that inexplicable joy. In contrast with the joy of the Magi, when they went in the palace, they found a king who was in search of joy, in search of grace. These kings, or magi, they found grace in the eyes of God, in the sight of God, not because they merited, not because they were better than others, but they found it and they rejoiced in it and they rejoiced with an inexplicable joy. But when they came in the palace, they encountered this king named Herod. Now, there are a few of them in the Bible. In the biblical times, we actually had six characters, six Herods. This one, I have a list with all of them. This one was called Herod the Great. Herod the Great because he chose to call himself the Great, not others. And this man was a selfish man, a man that was in search of grace, and by grace I mean favor, throughout his life. Since he was placed by the Roman Empire as king of Judea under Caesar Augustus, he did everything he could to seek favor in the eyes of Caesar, in the eyes of Romans, and in the eyes of his people, Jewish people. He was known for numerous things. He was known, for instance, for his architectural achievements. He built so many amazing projects. He is the one who actually renovated and expanded the temple. This year, we spend a great deal of time studying Haggai and Nehemiah. And we learn how in Haggai they rebuild the temple, and during Nehemiah's time they rebuild the walls of the temple. But remember the reaction of God's people when they saw that temple rebuilt so small, when they were about to abandon the project because the temple fell short of its glory and their expectations didn't fit with the reality. Now, this man, Herod, in order to seek favor from his people, he expanded the temple. And that temple turned to be even greater than the original one. He also built numerous other things. For instance, he built Caesarea. This is a city by the seaside with a great port. They name it Caesarea because he was seeking favor in sight of Caesar. It was dedicated to Caesar. He also built Masada. I forget exactly where I have it. Masada, this is a palace fortress located on the plateau overlooking the Dead Sea. It is an amazing, marvelous building complex. He built the Herodian quarter in Jerusalem as well, as an extension of the temple. He built Antipatris, Herodium, and even a great hippodrome for chariot and races and all sorts of games. And he did so in order to seek favor. He was a selfish man. He seek applause, worship from humans, appreciations. He was also an evil man. He was known for his atrocities. He never hesitated to kill in order to preserve his throne. Once, historians record that his servants had a bit of a laugh during one of his feasts, and he thought they were laughing of him. He killed all of them. He killed many of his wives, including the one he loved the most, Miriam, a Jew. Mary, the same name as Jesus' mother. Although historians said he regretted after he killed her. How sweet. He executed his own sons. One of his sons, Aristobulus, was so well looked, well, how to say, he appeared so nice. He was full of knowledge. He had proven his leadership skills. And some people in the streets began discussing about him that when he comes after Herod the Great, he will be the greatest. And when he heard that, he killed his own son because he was jealous. In contrast with the joy of these kings from Persia that discovered God's grace, this man that was chasing for grace his entire life, he was ready to kill his son. What do I want to mark this? It is in us, embedded in us, in each one of us, this desire to be appreciated, to seek favor, to be in control. He is a man who loved power and control. And listen to this. As long as you continue to seek power, control, achievements, appreciation, applause, you'll never experience joy. You'll never experience that great joy. And in contrast with him, Jesus Christ chose to come on earth, the King of grace, during his reign. The one who laid it all. Philippians 2 says that he laid it all. He left everything, all the glory in heaven. He came and he took the robe of a servant in humility, offering us grace after grace, as we read in John 1. Grace upon grace. The Magi, when they realized the grace they received from God, they came with gifts. They came prepared. They were focused for a long period of time. I'm pretty sure they encountered during their traveling lots of obstacles, disappointments. Maybe after a year, among them, one of them would have said, you know what, let's get back. It's been too long. Maybe they encounter others. Where are you going? Well, we are in search of this king, newborn king of Judah. Come on. It's Herod there. They are under Romans. No chance. Go back. They kept their eyes on the star. They were focused. And here is an acronym that I would like you to remember if you can. Focus. Thinking on what are you ready to offer to Jesus these days, today. Focus. Offer your full attention and dedication to him. If you want joy, don't focus on anything else. I know today it's going to be wonderful to spend time with family and friends, those of you who have them. Appreciate them. Enjoy that time. Some others don't have it. But even that is a momentary pleasure. In a day or two, we get back to our own business. But when we focus and we place our full attention and dedication on Jesus, this is what gives us everlasting joy. Oh, overflow with joy and worship. When you discover him, you will find your heart overflown, abundant joy. And as an expression of it, we worship as they did. By the way, we read that they brought to him gold, frankincense, and myrrh, I'm not going to expand all of these. They are symbols and they represent something, but we don't have time today. However, you know, there is a little detail there. They brought the treasury box. I'm pretty sure they brought some prepared gifts. They came prepared. But when they found the child, a toddler already, when they discovered what God already revealed them, they were ready to give even more that they prepared. It seems to me that when they brought the treasury box, they opened it and they said, bring it all, give it all. And perhaps one of them said, whoa, we need some resources. Hold on some gold. We need it for our journey back. No, give it all. He deserves it. When you encounter Jesus, when you experience that joy, you worship Him with everything that you are and everything that you have. Is anything today that you still like to grab on? In realms of material things, in realms of spiritual things, emotional things, physical things? Is anything that you still want to grab on? Your pride? Your desire to control? Your selfish attitude? How many of you may have been just disappointed that you didn't receive as many Christmas cards as you expected? And by just thinking of this, or so many phone calls, or whatever, text messages, you think, nobody thinks of me. I'm not that worthy. Everything centered in me, in us, not in Him. See, focus. Commit to follow Him. Follow Him and follow the path He has set for you. Follow His will. Follow His calling for your life. You focus. What can it be? I'll let you to think. If I had to choose a word, I would choose a Romanian one. For humility, umilință. But in order to build up on the same thing that C expressed, commit to follow Him or offering Him everything that you have, your utmost best. Don't be happy or don't be satisfied to offer the leftovers of your life, of your time. It's okay if I fit Jesus in my plans, in my schedule. I'll find some space for Him. Now, think of your utmost best. And then, as surrender before Him. When they saw Him, we read here that they fell down. The original Greek here literally means they throw themselves down immediately. They throw themselves down, not thinking of who they are. They throw themselves, they surrender because they realize He is the King of grace. Focus. During this Christmas on Him, not on you. And you will experience joy. And yesterday, I've asked some of you to bring some strips of clothes. This is something like what I said yesterday Jewish people used to carry with them in case they will encounter a dead body or so on, so they can remove it. There are some extra ones, some wallpaper strips there. I would like you to think right now what this would represent for you. What sort of gift you want to offer to Jesus today? And it can be a positive one or a negative one. Yes, I'm pretty sure you have your own list. But it can be our hearts. Some of you never offer your full heart to Jesus. He expects that. It can be our time. And as we go into 2024, you can offer more time for Jesus. Your talents, your treasures, your relationships. Some of them, they need to be mended, even in my case. Your dreams, your aspirations, your prayers. But what about negative ones? Because baby Jesus, who is waiting for you at the end of the service, so you go and cover him with strips of cloth, as the shepherds found him in swaddling clothes, he was already prepared for his death. At his birth, he already reflected what he is going to do on the cross. And on the cross, he was covered not with the positive things of our world. We read in the letters by Paul that he was made sin for us. He was covered with all the sins of the world. So, yes, bring those sins to him this morning. Your addictions, those things that you've been struggling with and you've tried to keep under control on your own, and you can't. Because if you seek to control things, you'll never experience that joy. He's here to support you, to help you. Your failures. And the list can go on and on. Think and pray. What this cloth, what that strip of paper, whatever you brought, may represent today. And as we conclude the service today, go and cover Jesus with them and pray, Jesus, here it is. I've tried to be in control of my life. I've tried to be better in my own efforts. I've tried to control others. I've tried to seek grace and chase grace. When you came as a King of grace, give it all. I surrender. I cover you with all these things. And I also asked you to bring your favorite chess piece. Any of you brought anything? Can you lift it up? Excuse me, now I cannot see what they are. Some of you, can you name them? It's a bishop. Nice. A queen. Amazing. You love your queen, definitely, Trevor. Anything else? A king. Oh. Pawn? No one brought a pawn? Oh, Mercy and David and perhaps a few others. Here we are together, especially in a church, and each one of us, we are members of God's church, of God's community. And we play various roles in this church. We play various roles in the kingdom. There are pawns. These are the humble foot soldiers of the chessboard. Pawn move forward, but capture diagonally, as we know. They may seem very, very insignificant, but they are important. Bishops, they glide gracefully, diagonally across the board. They do a couple of things, amazing things. And we have bishops in our church too. God bless them. We have knights. They move in an L-shaped pattern, making unconventional laps. They represent those individuals who bring creativity and innovation to our church. Sometimes it seems a little bit, it's too much innovation and creativity. But we need them, and I'll encourage them to play their role. There are rooks as well. They are strong and stable, on the board, moving horizontally and vertically, they can symbolize some strong pillars of faith in our church. These are also individuals who stand firm, protect our values, and uphold the traditions that underpin our faith community. Queen. The queen is the most potent piece on the chessboard, embodying influence and maturity. But the most important thing on a chessboard is the king. When the king is in chess or chessmate, check, check. The game is over. The problem is sometimes we try to be the king. We tend to be like Herod, focusing so much on us. Try to be visible. Try to grab attention. And if we don't get it, we rage. In contrast with the exceedingly great joy that these kings, Magi, experience, we read in verse 16, I have the ESV version today, that the king Herod became furious. But in other translations, and based on the original, it's the same play of words, exceedingly angry. These kings, that they understood God's grace, they were exceedingly joyful. They rejoiced. The other one who seeks attention, they turn to be exceedingly angry. I didn't receive the attention, the prestige, the applause that I expected. Selfishness. It's only one king, and this is Jesus. Give up on trying to be the king. Do everything for the king. And as a reminder, I promise all of you, I didn't expect it so many today, that's all I have. Those of you who are in large families, or maybe even related, or living more than one in a house, you are welcome at the end of the service to take one. And take one at home, and throughout 2024. Put it somewhere, and remember, he is the only king of grace. And he is the king that deserves all our attention, all our worship, our utmost best. Because he is the king of peace. He is the king of joy. He is the way maker. He is the peacemaker. He is everything. And he is coming back soon. Amen. During this last song, and carol actually, please go and offer King Jesus what you have. It can be your best or your worst today. He is ready to take it on him.